some of the things around the birth of Christ, the advent, his advent into the world. Last week, we, of course, were looking at the wise men and their path that they took, and then how they departed and went back to the Persian Empire. And today I want to look at something that's typically not considered all that much, and that is the similarities of Gabriel's announcements there in the book of Luke. We often read chapter 2, which Tim did, and that is a very important part. It is the Christmas message, but seldom is the first chapter of Luke read. And yet there's some really good information in there with regard to the birth of Christ, particularly with regards to John the Baptist and how we back into when Christmas Day actually is. And, of course, John the Baptist being the great forerunner of Christ, proclaiming the kingdom is at hand and preaching repentance for the remission of sin. So, if you will, let's take a look at this first chapter of the book of Luke, if you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And I have a pass out that we'll look at eventually, but I'm not going to put it out right now because you're going to get ahead of me if I give it to you now. So it'll be more or less in the form of a review after we have looked at some of the information in this first chapter of the book of Luke. We'll start this morning with Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod. Now that's Herod the Great. That's not Herod Antipas that we see later in the third chapter. We know, according to history, that he actually died in the year that Christ was born. So there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. Now, we've looked at the courses of Abia before, and if you remember, those courses are the time that the priest served in the temple. And you can go back in 1 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 24, and you can see where the courses were set up where the high priest served their time in the temple. There were 24 of these courses divided among the high priests. And so each priest was in the temple doing the duties of the temple twice a year. And so Zacharias was of the course of Abia. His was the eighth course. They started after the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so we can calculate exactly when Zacharias was in the temple, based on those courses that are given back in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. And his wife, Zechariah's wife, was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, the daughters of Aaron always married priests. Not sure why, but that's the way it is. Verse 6, and they, Zacharias and Elizabeth both, were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So they were following the law, whatever was required. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So hope had been given up, pretty much like Abraham and Sarah. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he, Zacharias, that was, executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The priest could only go, only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. When he went in, they had a rope on his leg. In case he died, they could drag him out. He had a bell on him to make sure that they could know that he was still moving. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Apparently, he had prayed that they would have a child, no doubt, for maybe decades. For thy prayer is heard, Zacharias, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him. Now, notice in that verse, him is capitalized because it's referring to Christ. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he was going before Christ eventually as he became older. And Zacharias said unto the angel, where shall I know this? And I think that's probably a kind interpretation. I have an idea that that Zacharias probably made some kind of smart remark like, what do you mean? Sarah's old and barren, has been for decades. Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now we know that was on June 23 and 24. And he lived about 30 miles from Jerusalem in the hill country. So no doubt, being the old man that he was, it probably took him a couple days to get home. And also, he couldn't travel the first day because it was a holy day. So he couldn't leave on that day. The next priest was there, but he couldn't travel. So he had to wait. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So we know that she conceived when Zacharias arrived home. And that's how you back into when Christ was born, by looking at these dates of when he was in the temple, when he arrived home, and so forth. Now skip over to verse 57. And we continue with that same story. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, knowing now, we know he was dumb, he couldn't speak, been struck dumb by the angel, and how he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosened, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that he should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to redeem his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from our high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. John, apparently, as he grew up, for some reason, I don't know, was in the desert. I don't know if he was herding camels or what, but he was in the desert. And he wore leather, and he ate locusts and honey. Was no doubt a rugged individual, you know. I've never known bees to give up honey gracefully. He was out there, and he was no doubt a pretty rough cowboy type of character. But he was the forerunner for Christ, preaching the gospel, proclaiming that Christ was here. Now, that announcement of that birth was made by Gabriel, if you remember back in the beginning when we first started to read. Gabriel also announces the coming birth of Christ. He does not announce to the shepherd that the birth has taken place. If you go back and read, the angel's not mentioned that announces that Christ has actually been born. There's considerable evidence that it was probably Michael, but we can't know positively for sure. But more than likely, it was Michael. So now let's go back and look at Gabriel's announcement of Christ. We want to go back to verse verse 31 of that chapter. Verse 26. And that's right after where we stopped reading in verse 25 about Elizabeth in her fifth month. Beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and to call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So she's having some question here, as did Zacharias. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, and this always tickles me, that holy thing. And you notice that thing is capitalized, and which, as antecedents of God, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hunger with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her own house. And the next verse, and Elizabeth's full time had come. So at this point, then we know when and where Elizabeth was in the just the period of birth. It was 9 months. She had conceived in June, the 23rd or 24th. We're now in March of the next year, which is 9 months. We know that Mary was 3 months pregnant at this point. And if you count the days, the exact time then of the begetting was December 25th. And he was then born in September 29th of the year 4000 BC. And of course, he was circumcised, as was John, on the eighth day, taken to the temple. And we saw that last week where when we had the map where he went from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and then he went up to Nazareth immediately afterwards. And if you remember, Herod was going clear down to the south to kill all the babies 2 years later. The wise men went north to Nazareth and then went back to the east or the west. Now, there's great similarity between these two announcements. And I've got a handout here that shows, that you can look at. And it's not perceived when you first look at it. When you just read those chapters, it's not that perceived. Stuck together, Howard. I'm out. How about Sharon? Can we have one maybe you can share? Here's one. Notice the similarities. John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel, announces his birth. It's the same thing with the birth of Christ. Zacharias is troubled, and he exhibits some unbelief. We find the same thing with Mary. She's troubled, but exhibits no unbelief. There's a promise to Elizabeth that she shall bear a son, a promise to Mary that she shall conceive. The angel tells Zacharias, fear not. Zacharias tells Mary the same thing, to fear not. He names the child, thou shalt call his name John, and shall call the name of the one to come, Jesus. He shall be a prophet of the highest, and Jesus will be the Son of the Highest, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon Jesus. Her full time came. She should be delivered, and her days were accomplished. She brought forth her firstborn son. She brought forth a firstborn son. The neighbors and everybody else rejoiced. The angels and the shepherds rejoiced and were all wondered. They were both circumcised on the eighth day. Zacharias, this was laid up in their hearts. Jesus' mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And the child grew and waxed strong in both cases. When you first read that first chapter, you don't see this structure, but it's there. And it's like all chapters in Scripture. There is this structure that exists, either with that chapter and other chapters or other verses. But I just wanted to point this out to show what the structure actually looks like sometimes and how amazing it is that we have these two individuals, one to proclaim the gospel and prepare the way for Christ, and the other one, Christ himself, to come along as the Messiah. Now, if you'll turn over to the 8th chapter, Luke chapter 8, and I want to just tie this in with what we had studied prior. When we looked at the parables, if you remember the sowings that took place, the first sowing was who? Of the gospel, it was John the Baptist. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was preaching in the wilderness. Repent, be baptized, remission of sin, for Christ is here, is coming. The second sowing was Christ himself. John prepared the way, the first sowing, and it was nothing happened. It was all of it went on rocky ground and poor ground, and it didn't, the kingdom, and that sowing was of the kingdom, was they preparing the kingdom. The second sowing was Christ himself. He came along, and same thing. All of this seed for the kingdom went out, but it all arrived with thistles and those who didn't care on rocky and stony ground, and the kingdom didn't happen. The third sowing was the 12 themselves. Later, after Christ's crucifixion, they went forth preaching and proclaiming the gospel of remission of sin, repent, be baptized, all through the Acts period, and it still didn't take. The kingdom did not come about in the third sowing. The fourth sowing is yet future. And that's when it will arrive on good ground. And that is going to be proclaimed by the nation of Israel when they come into a position of belief. The overcomers, those that come back with Christ to prepare for the kingdom, that will be the fourth sowing of the parable that's talked about here in this chapter. I don't have any real conclusion to this. I'm just merely pointing out how much there is in these stories that's overlooked. Typically, you hear nothing about this. You don't. I've sat in church for 50 years and I never heard anything about the course of Abia. I never heard Luke chapter 1 ever read. But it just goes to show how much there is in Scripture. And I think one day when we see, not through a glass darkly, but face to face, we're going to say, oh my God, what else did we miss that's there that needs to be sorted out, looked at, to whereby we can actually learn and grow even more in the grace and the knowledge of him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the written word and the understanding that we can have thereby. How grateful we are for our salvation as a result of your advent into the world. We are thankful that you loved us first and that we, in fact, love you. Once again, I pray for each one here that we all may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, because that is wherein true worship is found. And it's in the name of this one that came, Christ Jesus, that we pray. Amen.